Today, flying blind, markets sway as global debt bomb looms. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World. Now, this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. In the battle of the two mega egos of Trump and Musk, which raged this week on socials, the linchpin was a deep question about the sustainability of government debt, which in the US is north of $36 trillion, and it's set to rise, even as global debt roars higher too. The tax and spending bill could add perhaps $3.3 trillion to debt by 2034, according to the nonpartisan think tank, the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. A Moody's decision to strip the US of its latest AAA credit rating last month and weak demand for Japanese auctions moves attention to two of the world's biggest economies. While a debt crisis may not be the base case, warning bells are starting to ring. JP Morgan's CEO Jamie Dimon warned of a crack in the bond market, partially due to overspending, though the US dollar status as the world's number one reserve currency offers the US some protection, and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said the country will never default. Well, we'll see about that. Now, I realise some will argue, MMT-like, that this is not a real problem, but to me, ever higher debt drives asset prices higher, or really the value of dollars lower. And given the higher cost of debt servicing as longer-term yields have spiked, this is getting to be a big issue. The debt bomb is back in focus, and it's casting a long shadow on markets and investors, for those who want to see it. Because I see cracks appearing across markets, I want to explore this in more detail, and I'll be running a special live show next Wednesday via Zoom for those wanting to delve more deeply into this critical issue and what it may mean. I'll be joined by author and economist Harry Dent and financial innovator Troy Harris. Here is a taster from Harry.
I know gold has already bubbled to over, you know, to 3,500 here, and is probably peaking here with the other bubbles. So this is commodities, gold, real estate, stocks, everything. And Martin, that's the most unique thing about this time. That has never happened in concert and globally around the world.
The link is in the comments below to sign up to join the show on Wednesday, the 11th of June, which will run at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Sydney time. Across the week, markets were higher, with the MSCI Global Index up 2.74%, while the European Stoxx 600 was up 0.9%. The Australian ASX 200 was up 0.9% across the week, but down on Friday, ahead of the US jobs report. All three major US equity benchmarks closed more than 1% higher after the May jobs report eased worries about the economic outlook, and there were hopes for an easing of trade tensions. The Dow was at 42,762.87. The S&P 500 closed above 6,000 for the first time since February, while the Nasdaq was at 19,529.95. This all reeks of overvaluation in my book. President Donald Trump posted on his social media site that top US, including Scott Bessent and Howard Lutnick, and China trade officials will meet in London on Monday. The meeting should go very well. Still, the market was also reminded this week of protectionist fervour as the White House's doubled tariffs on steel and aluminium imports took effect. The US economy added 139,000 jobs last month, better than expected, but the prior month's total was revised lower by 30,000, and investors are trying to gauge the impact of President Donald Trump's aggressive tariff agenda on the broader economy. Jobless rate held steady at 4.2%, though that was partially because the size of the labour force shrank for the first time since 2023. The ISM services report showed that the largest sectors of the US economy contracted in May, marking the first time since June 2024, and services PMI was reported at 49.9, below April's reading of 51.6%, and below the consensus of 52. The yield on the US 10-year bond leapt 12 basis points to 4.51% as the jobs data led traders to trim bets on Federal Reserve rate cuts this year. The 30-year shot up to 4.965. That didn't stop President Donald Trump calling for an immediate full-point cut. Philadelphia's Federal Reserve President Patrick Harker, who is set to retire at the end of June, thinks interest rate cuts could be a possibility this year, given the current economic uncertainty, but he discussed his concerns about the quality of economic data used by policymakers in a recent interview. The Federal Reserve is scheduled to meet on June the 17th and 18th, and it's widely anticipated that the interest rate target will remain steady between 4.25 and 4.5%. Harker mentioned that the option to ease monetary policy is always on the table. He stated, if the signals are such that inflation doesn't look like it's moving rapidly north, but unemployment does, then yeah, I could definitely see making one or two more cuts this year. But it's hard to say at this point. It's not just inflation data, but a whole host of data. So we're increasingly flying blind, or at least half blind. The volatility index closed at its lowest in more than 3 months at 16.77, though while the health of the market has drastically improved since the April volatility spike, there are still political hurdles to clear in the next 1 to 2 months. The fate of the Trump Big Beautiful Tax Bill, the 9th of July deadline for trade deals, and the early August debt ceiling pressure. Tesla shares slid 40% on Thursday as the Musk-Trump feud continued on social media, including the president threatening to cut off government contracts to Musk companies. Tesla's fall accounted for about half of Thursday's declines for both the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq 100, which fell 0.5% and 0.8% respectively on the day. Although the stock modestly rebounded on Friday, recouping 3.7%, as it appears Elon Musk sought to de-escalate his criticism of Trump's signature proposed tax spending bill, Trump reportedly deferred a call with Musk and is looking for a buyer for the Tesla that he bought in March. Thursday's decline dragged down some of the most closely followed equity indices, which are more heavily influenced by companies with the largest market values. Each of the Magnificent Seven advanced on Friday, with Microsoft resetting its record high. Alphabet advanced 3% higher. All seven closed off their session highs, though. Microsoft ended the week with a market cap of $3.5 US, followed by Nvidia at $3.46 trillion and Apple at $3.05 trillion. These are eye-watering numbers. The Magnificent Seven, which includes Apple and Microsoft and Nvidia, had a combined weight of nearly one-third in the S&P 500 overall as of Thursday's close. If you're an investor and you own the S&P or the NASDAQ 100, you just need to be aware that you own a lot of exposure to a very small cohort of names. Tesla shares are down some 37% since mid-December, a period when the S&P 500 fell about 1%, meaning its influence on the index has also declined over that time. These shares hold a broad influence among ETFs. Tesla has a varying presence in about 10% of the total universe of around 4,200 ETFs, so it's very important to know holistically what is in all of your ETFs, because a lot of them are, well, overlapping. The market shift also reflects growing macroeconomic stress. A US appellate court's decision to uphold certain contested tariffs triggered a sharp reversal in long-term yields, with 30-year US Treasury rates rising above 5%, a level last seen in 2009. This has revived concerns over tighter fiscal conditions. In parallel, US consumer spending slowed to just 0.2% in April, and business investment slowed as well. Orders for core capital goods fell 1.3%, while continuing job claims reached their highest level since 2021. These data points paint a picture of a cooling economy amid persistent trade and policy uncertainty. However, with derivative markets still elevated and macro risks unresolved, short-term volatility is expected to persist. The US dollar index futures was up 0.45% at 99.19, and the dollar has tumbled much faster than many expected, but there is still more pain ahead. Morgan Stanley's warning, forecasting a nearly double-digit plunge by the middle of 2026, driven by deeper-than-expected Federal Reserve rate cuts and a stumble in US economic growth. The dollar's decline, the strategist added, is also being fueled by a convergence in US rates and growth of those of its peers, as well as a further rise in risk premium due to increasing foreign exchange hedging flows and safe haven debates. The greenback was trading down 0.5% this week and was close to a two-year low that it hit in April. The euro-US dollar was unchanged at 1.14, while the US dollar-Japanese yen rose 0.96% to 144.86. Gold futures for August delivery was down 1.24% on Friday to 3,330.70 troy ounce. Demand for the yellow metal is underpinned by heightened uncertainty over the US economy and trade tariffs, but silver had a stellar week, up 9.42%, as nervous investors sought risk-off havens, and it was last at 36.125. Broader metal prices largely benefited from a weaker dollar and saw weekly gains too. Elsewhere in commodities trading, crude oil for delivery in July rose 2.18% to hit $64.79 a barrel, while the August Brent oil contract rose 1.91% to trade at $66.63 a barrel. US energy firms this week cut the number of oil and natural gas rigs operating for a sixth week in a row, for the first time since September 2023, according to energy services firm Baker Hughes. The oil and rig gas count, an early indicator of future output, fell by 4 to 559 in the week to June the 6th. That's the lowest since November 2021. Even though analysts forecast US spot crude prices would decline for a third year in a row in 2025, the US Energy Information Administration projected crude output would rise from a record 13.2 million barrels a day in 2024 to around 13.4 million barrels per day in 2025. And on the gas side, the EIA projected an 88% increase in spot gas prices in 2025 would prompt producers to boost drilling activity this year after a 14% price drop in 2024 caused several energy firms to cut output since the COVID-19 pandemic reduced demand for the fuel in 2020. European shares rose for a second straight week, buoyed by robust US employment figures and diminishing concerns over trade frictions that had previously haunted investor confidence. The pan-European stock 600 rose 0.3% on Friday to 553.64. The automotive sector, particularly exposed to higher metal duties, bore the brunt, shedding 1.8% over the week. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz indicated that he would pursue a deal for duty-free US car imports into Europe in exchange for equivalent tariff waivers on European exports to the US. Germany's DAX and France's CAC 40 also recorded a second straight week of gains, as the European Central Bank's widely anticipated interest rate cut was overshadowed by President Christine Lagarde's hawkish signals, suggesting the monetary easing cycle might be approaching its conclusion. The stance prompted traders to dial back expectations of future rate reductions, but it was all about, frankly, uncertainty. The German 30-year bond was above 3%, highlighting the higher costs of more debt. On Friday, the financial sector emerged as the standout performer, propelled by UBS, which rose 3.8% after Swiss authorities proposed more stringent rules that could require an additional $26 billion in core capital reserves for the banking giant. And on the macroeconomic front, German exports and industrial production contracted more severely than anticipated in April, as US demand faltered following months of accelerated purchasing activity driven by tariff anticipation. German industrial production declined 1.4% in April from the previous month, following a revised gain of 2.3% in March, initially reported as a 3% increase. Across the channel, the FTSE is approaching an all-time high at 8,841.04, even as British housing prices experienced a steeper than expected decline in May. Only a small share of British companies now see US trade policy as a major concern, according to a Bank of England survey. Identified that 12% of firms had it in their top three sources of uncertainty in May, down from 22% the previous month. Still, more businesses do anticipate a negative impact. According to the Bank of England survey, 22% expected lower sales over the coming year, 20% plan to scale back investment, and 15% anticipated cutting prices. A smaller portion, 7%, said they would raise prices in response to the trade challenges. Meanwhile, recent US tariffs played a role in the Bank of England's May rate decision. Governor Andrew Bailey has indicated that domestic wage and price trends, though, are likely to be more influential in shaping future monetary policy. Surging government debt levels are becoming a pressure point for big economies, and bond investors have their sights on those not doing enough to improve their finances. Britain, with debt near 100% of GDP, remains vulnerable to global bond sell-offs, even as it stresses fiscal discipline. Finance Minister Rachel Reeves' multi-year spending review next week could be the next test for the only G7 economy with 30-year borrowing costs above 5%. The government appears prepared to spend more on defence and health, among other things. Rubber bank strategist Jane Foley said even as it pledges not to increase taxes and keep spending tight. In Asia, Japan was the textbook case of how markets could shrug off a mammoth debt pile, but now that's changing. Japan's public debt is more than twice its economy, and it's the biggest among developed economies. Its longer-dated bond yields hit record highs in May after a 20-year bond sale resulted in the worst auction result since 2012 and cast doubts on demand. 30-year borrowing costs have jumped 60 basis points over the last 3 months and are currently sitting at 2.871%, rising even faster than in the US. The Prime Minister in Japan faces pressure for big spending and tax cuts. Policymakers are already considering trimming super long bond sales, temporarily smoothing market concerns. But more port auctions last week suggest they may have deeper rooted issues to deal with. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topic indices, though, were the best performers in Asia on Friday, rising 0.5 and 0.6% respectively. The two were boosted by increased bets that the Bank of Japan was losing headroom to hike interest rates further, especially after household spending data for April read substantially weaker than expected. Friday's reading followed weaker than expected overall wage income data, which signaled that private spending may not receive as big a boost from recent wage hikes as initially expected. This trend could in turn undermine Japanese economic growth and inflation, giving the Bank of Japan less headroom to raise interest rates further. On the trade front, Japanese talks with the US remain ongoing, although media reports said discord between the US officials were presenting difficulties. Chinese markets were little enthused by US President Donald Trump's flagging a positive call with Chinese President Xi Jinping, which is expected to help revitalize trade negotiations. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices moved sideways, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng shed 0.4%. China's services sector grew more than expected in May. Private Purchasing Managers Index data showed on Thursday a strong domestic demand helped offset the impact of increased US trade tariffs, which dented export orders. The Kaizen's China Services PMI rose to 51.1 in May, edging past expectation of 51 and improving from the 50.7 seen in the prior month. A reading above 50 indicates expansion in the sector. Thursday's reading marked a 29th consecutive month of expansion for the services PMI as service sector activity remained underpinned by strong local demand. The reading was largely in contrast to dismal manufacturing PMIs released over the past week, which showed a protracted decline in Chinese factory activity due to waning overseas demand. This slowdown was largely tied to steep US trade tariffs on China, which eroded export orders. India's Nifty 50 index reversed initial losses and rose 0.5% after the RBI cut interest rates by a bigger than expected 60 basis points. The RBI also unexpectedly slashed its cash reserve ratio, which detaches the amount of cash to be held by local banks as reserves to 3% from 4%. The central bank shifted its stance to neutral from accommodative, flagging persistent risks to the Indian economy from global trade and economic ructions. The RBI governor, speaking during a live stream, said the central bank was front-loading its monetary easing in the face of heightened global economic uncertainty and flagged resilience in the economy, maintaining the RBA's forecast for gross domestic product growth of 6.5% in the current fiscal year. But he cut the RBI's consumer price index inflation forecast for the current year to 3.7% from 4%. The Australian share market recorded its fourth consecutive weekly gain after US President Donald Trump said he would resume trade talks with Chinese President Xi Jinping, which helped soothe the concerns about the global trade war. The ASX 200 fell 0.3% to 8,515.7 points at the closing bell on Friday, with 8 of the 11 sectors in the red. Still, the exchange notched up a 1% gain over the week. The All Ords edged up 0.3%. Among the miners, BHP rose 0.7% to $38.23 and Fortescue rallied 1% to $15.65. The rise in the mining giant's share prices tracked the high iron ore price, with futures in Singapore up 0.8% to around $95 a tonne. Critical minerals stocks were heavily sold on expectations that China would ease export restrictions on rare earths. Pilbara Minerals slumped 5.2% to $1.28 and IGO lost 3.5% to $4.19. Wider losses swept across the ASX 200 as investors held their breath, waiting for the US monthly jobs report. Profit-taking technology and bank stocks gathered momentum, with index heavyweight Commonwealth Bank retreating 0.8% to $179.90. But see my earlier show on how expensive CBA shares are relative to peers and even the US megatechs. The US dollar fell amid concerns about the labour market, and the Aussie was last at 64.93 US cents and a horrid 47.99 British pence. In corporate news, Aura Bandar Mining tumbled 14.1% to $1.10 after warning that it expects full-year gold production to come in below guidance due to extended downtime at its Davyhurst project. And Qantas rose 3.5% to $10.76 after competitor Virgin Australia said commitments for its $685 million IPO had been well covered, but warned some investors would not get the full amount of shares requested. Investors are expecting an uptick in earnings growth at the country's biggest miners, which they say will justify the ASX's near-record levels, despite broader uncertainty brought on by the Trump administration's tariff plans. The ASX 200 is up almost 9% over 12 months, despite little earnings growth. That has stretched valuations and left expensive stocks open to a slump if economic indicators point towards weakness. This week, the OECD published an economic outlook that business investment was 30% weaker than it should be in Australia. In the US, President Donald Trump's tariff regime could cut GDP growth from 2.8% last year to 1.6% this, but Morgan Stanley has kept its year-end target for the ASX 200 at 8,500 points, which equity strategist Chris Nicol said reflected confidence that the resource sector would have an earnings revival within 18 months. He said his price target was based on the price earnings multiple around 17 times, slightly below the current market multiple of 18.5 times. We do expect earnings to kick in the next 12 to 18 months, he said. We think in 12 months' time, you'd be paying for slightly higher earnings growth than what we currently see in the consensus as it sits today. Much of that optimism stems from a stabilisation in mining profits, which have been a drag on corporate profits this year. The Aussie market is seen by regional local investors as a resilient place to park capital at the moment, hence the CBA momentum, as I discussed yesterday. But the question is that really true? Finally, in crypto, millionaire investor Mike Novogratz became one of the loudest voices in the room this week, pointing to the current $36 trillion national debt. He warned that the total could easily surpass $50 trillion within the next 10 years. His solution, of course, is to buy Bitcoin. He made it clear that, in his view, the only rational move in the face of this debt trajectory was to invest in Bitcoin. And he's not alone. A growing number of investors and analysts are making the connection. Massive deficits means massive interest payments. This feeds a loop that weakens the dollar year by year. If spending does not change, and there is no indication that it will, the US could be running a $5 trillion annual deficit within a decade. This chips away at the dollar's power. Commodities priced in US dollars naturally climb. Bitcoin, which currently acts more like a digital commodity than a currency, follows the same logic. The crazy $1 million Bitcoin forecast starts to sound perhaps like a trajectory than speculation. Novogratz is simply giving voice to a growing thesis. However, Bitcoin is undergoing its first meaningful pullback since April, falling nearly 7% from a record high of 111,880 in May. That followed a steep 50% rally, of course. It was last at 104,970. The decline reflects not just technical fatigue, but growing macroeconomic pressure and overheating in derivative markets. Options open interest surged to an all-time high of 49.4 billion, an increase of 25.8 billion in just a few weeks, before falling back to 39 billion following the May 29 option expiry. This elevated positioning indicates traders were positioning for heightened volatility, with many hedging or speculating on directional swings. Bitfinex warns that under such conditions, continued upward movement requires strong buy-side support to absorb increased selling pressures as gains are realized. Without it, price instability tends to follow. Despite the pullback, Bitfinex maintains that Bitcoin's market structure remains strong. The current correction is described as a healthy reset after one of the sharpest rallies in crypto history, driven by leverage flushing and orderly profit taking. Institutional activity remains elevated, they say, and the report emphasizes that ongoing participation from large players could help to stabilize prices. But if you stand back and just think about what we've covered, cracks in the debt markets, equities very, very high, questions about the future trajectory of the commodity sector, and you can begin to understand why it's so important to have a really detailed discussion and an understanding of what's going on and what might be ahead. So again, I remind you to sign up for my special show next Wednesday. Links are below. In the meantime, we will continue to try and portray what is really going on rather than what the talking heads want you to believe. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.